3, 2, 1. Hey, what's going on? I'm the Digital Realist, and I do music and stuff. Heavy emphasis on the stuff. And I thought I'd try a new segment where I'm going to talk about things, kind of like a vlog, blog style or whatever, podcast thing, whatever, in between recording and making songs. And I want to kind of call this segment the warm-up, where basically I'm just talking to warm up my vocal cords to sing. And so what I'm going to talk about right now is this movie I just watched called The Invisible Man. Not the 1930s, whatever, old crap, but the one that's just recently appeared in theaters, 2020. And I got to say a lot about this movie. I'm really into horror and sci-fi movies, from major motion pictures to the basic of sci-fi Saturday evening television specials, Sharknado or something like that, on that level. And I have to say, with The Invisible Man, I just can't get into it. There's so many things about this movie that I'm going to point out, and maybe just be me, maybe I'm just seeing too many movies to be that guy. But I will say, before I go any further, I'm going to have a lot of spoilers. I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff in the movie that happens that's going to pretty much give away the plot. So if you don't want to know, or you want to go see the movie and I'm going to ruin it for you, stop here, go see the movie, come back. All right. So the first thing that pointed out to me when I watched the movie, first off, to give you a context of what's happening. So this lady, Leia, I think her name is the, not in the movie, but in the real world, is the protagonist of the film. And basically she's been in a relationship with this really arrogant, narcissistic, rich, successful, smart scientist for this company that makes things for optics and science, you know, real sci-fi stuff like that. And in their relationship, it's been a very abusive one, verbally and physically. And over a course of several months, she ends up getting out of it by trying to drug the guy and escape the relationship. Several weeks later, he dies, and she gets the benefits of his estate. She gets, you know, I won't say it's alimony, but basically a trust fund is left to her in a will, and she gets a whole bunch of money and stuff. And she has a friend of hers, her black friend, who's also a cop, single dad, I guess. And she also has her sister, and then the brother of the antagonist of the movie, the quote-unquote Invisible Man, who is going to try and harm her. And the first thing I pointed out is that everyone in this movie is really attractive except her. And that kind of stood out to me, because it's like, okay, and I'm not just talking about women, no homo, but like even the dudes in this movie, like all of the dudes, you know, the cop friend, he's, you know, well trained, fit, haircut, nice, clean. You know, the brother, even though he was supposed to be on the shabby side, but he still was, you know, a successful American lawyer. You know, he had his money and he had suits. And then the sister was always clean, even when she was dressed down. She looked like she was going out somewhere every time. Real Sex in the City kind of vibe. And then who else? Pretty much everyone in the movie looked attractive, except for the main character, which was weird. So my thought was, why would this very successful, rich, wealthy man, of all the females, want to be with the main character chick? And I'm gonna see if I can pull it up. You know, I don't want to get copyrighted or like that. But this is her. This is the main girl. You know, here. This is her. This is what in the entire movie, this is what the Invisible Man is, quote unquote, fighting for. And I gotta say, you could have done better, my guy. Like, great actress. I don't know her name. I'm not gonna really use names or anything like that. It's nothing important but the name. I just wanna get my little couple minutes until my voice clears up. But, ew. I just gotta say ew on that, my guy. So already I couldn't believe this story, because I'm thinking like, okay, dude, if I had invisible powers, I would be doing so many different things besides following this chick with the ham hock legs and like the kind of like, you know, fanny pack on the stomach, the fupa, the futon on the stomach thing going on, and the, you know, Clearasil skin problems going on there. So I didn't really want to get into that. I didn't really want to think that this guy is going to waste, and you know, this is probably like government federal money that's been funded to him to make his invisible powers, and he's wasting it on this broad. I don't know. Anyway, they develop in the story later on why that is, but I just couldn't think of any logical reason why. Oh, I got this suit that makes me invisible. So the first thing I'm going to do is harass my ex-girlfriend, who is a 5 at best. I would be so many different places. I would be in like Ivanka's bedroom or something. I would be, you know, in the locker rooms of like whatever cheerleaders are popping at the time. It would be something, but I wouldn't be, you know, harassing this chick. Anyway, so throughout the movie, after he allegedly, quote unquote, dies, she begins to experience these instances where she feels like someone is around her or someone's in her home. Obviously, the Invisible Man. And a lot of events happen that make her sound crazy, and none of her friends want to believe her. So, okay, yeah, I would be kind of shocked too. I'd be a little anxious, have a little anxiety thing going on if I just kept hearing noises over here, over there. One thing I always wonder about horror movies, though, is that in the universe of a horror movie, it's as if the person never saw a horror movie at all. Even in the real world, if I hear a noise that I think should not be there, I'm going through the checklist in my mind of all the things not to do in a horror situation. I'm not going to walk around in the dark without a weapon. I'm not going to split up if I'm around friends. I'm not going to split up or some stupid shit. I'm not going to do dumb things. I'm going to do smart things to make sure I don't get murdered by the clown in the corner or the 7-foot monstrous guy with the mask on. Not going to happen to me. Anyway, so when all of her friends are saying, hey, you're acting kind of strange. There's nothing there. You're being crazy. Obviously, I don't need to be at my house. That's step one. But in the house, she has these points where she sees something. And the first instance is when she's grabbing a blanket on a chair. And the chair the blanket won't move because someone clearly is grabbing the blanket. You can see the hand indentations on the blanket, but there's no one there. I don't owe any of these people in the room. You're going to see. She's in the room with the black friend and her daughter. I don't owe any of these people my presence right now. You know what I mean? I don't have to be here right now. I'm not obligated to be in this room when there's clearly an invisible person that's there. I can just leave. I would just get up and leave, and I would go somewhere where I'm going to be around a lot of people. You know what I mean? I'm going to walk around Walmart for like 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? And then come back. You know, just kind of stay out in public where no one can bother me and, you know, just not make it obvious that I'm crazy right now. But, you know, movie has to be movie. I'm not going to get into that. That's just me, the first thought. Anyway, it goes on and goes on. And I try to continue to suspend my disbelief until, and this is critical, around the end of the second act, the sister, who she alienated by the Invisible Man basically sabotaging their relationship. The sister, after begging and pleading with her, comes to a restaurant and sees her looking distraught, the main girl, then to the victim, this lady, you know, Clearasil, and she says, hey, I can prove to you that it's the Invisible Man. I prove to you. So early in the film, as the Invisible Man was running around chasing her around the house, she escapes her home. She runs down the street, and these series of events is what makes this moment in the restaurant bad. When she runs down the street, a camera out in the street, I guess a police speedometer camera or something, well, I don't know, a security camera for a home, I'm not sure, sees her running down the street by herself looking crazy. She, with her phone, calls a Lyft or an Uber to pick her up and take her 10 or 20 miles away to her ex-husband's home. In the home, she finds the suit. She finds the invisible suit. It's not like magic potion or some crap like it before. This is an actual suit that changes the light around you or some real type X-Men type shit and makes you invisible. She finds a suit. She puts this is a duplicate of the suit. There's two suits, the one that the Invisible Man's wearing and the one that she finds. She finds that suit. She hides it and then tries to escape. She gets back in the car with the Uber driver, Lyft driver, who apparently didn't see any of this going on, and goes back into town. She didn't take the suit with her. She left it in the home. That's important to the plot later on in the story, but my first thought would have been to just grab the suit and then just put that bitch on, and then we're both invisible. You can't find a bitch. But that's a whole other thing. I'm not going to get into that until later. And when she gets back in town, she meets up with the sister. When in the restaurant, the sister, being sympathetic, listens to the Clarissa girl. And the Clarissa girl says, "Hey, I have a secret." She looks just like this as she's whispering it. "I have a secret to tell you. I know how he's doing it. I know how he's invisible." And just as she's about to tell her about the suit, a knife appears that was placed earlier in the film for plot, hovering in the air. And the sister sees it like, "Huh? What is this?" And then immediately the invisible man slits her throat and then puts the knife in Clarissa's hand. And Clarissa is just standing there like, "What the heck just happened? What?" Now, I had to pause and think about it, because there's only two outcomes. Either one, all of this is in her head and she's really going to be the one that's killing everyone and being crazy, which would have worked for me, because it would make a lot of goddamn sense. Or two, it is an actual man in an invisible suit causing her to look crazy. And the short answer is it was two. But here's the problem with that. So you're telling me, I've been in four-star restaurants. I've worked in two-star. I've worked in food service before. You can tell me that in this restaurant, where there's probably like, 2,300 square foot or more, probably seats about 300 plus people, not one goddamn camera is on, nothing, no camera, no security footage in the restaurant to see that there's a hovering knife just hovering there, and it just went across this girl's neck and just cut her neck, and her neck is cut and nothing. And then you're also going to tell me that the sister is just going to stand there. The one, Clarissa, is just going to stand there with her hand agape and just put the knife in her hand. Like, if someone's trying to put a knife in my hand, I'm like, "Ew, get away from me, ew. I'm going to fight the knife. I'm going to stop. You know, I'm going to wave it like a mosquito. Get off me, ew." So he's going to put the knife in my hand. That's what you're going to do. And then everyone looks around and sees the girl is bleeding out, and Clarissa is accused. Well, not accused, but, you know, is looked at the killer, looked as to be the killer, and they put her in jail. So from this point, I'm just waiting to find out how he's going to be discovered as the invisible man, because there's no way that you're going to tell me. And the reason why that was irritating is because they made a point in the movie to show all these other places had cameras. The random camera in the middle of the street. There's cameras in the man's home. There's cameras in the asylum where she's placed in. There's cameras in all these other buildings, but this one restaurant didn't even have. Subway has cameras. Taco Bell has cameras in their restaurants. But this restaurant in the movie, this fancy smancy restaurant where people are paying $300, $400 for a plate or whatever, there's no cameras. No one saw this. No one. Not any one person. Not any one camera saw this. All right, so here we go. So then towards the beginning of the third act, she's now in an asylum. They don't believe her. They think that she's just crazy and she's killing people. We find out in conversation that the brother is in on it. The brother knows that the invisible man originally is not dead, and tells her that she's pregnant with his baby, and that she wants her to basically go back to the invisible man and, you know, fulfill his narcissistic tendencies or whatever. She grabs a pen, sneaks it in her butt or something like that. They don't show how she got the pen through security, but I'm pretty sure she put it in one of her holes and took it back to her room, where she knows the invisible man is in there. And here's another thing about the invisible man. So in the Invisible Man movie, there's these times where she's clearly alone and he is standing there. And I have a couple of thoughts about how he's getting around without bringing attention to himself. How are you peeing, Invisible Man? I know you gotta pee. Are you eating food? What is the battery life on that suit? Like, are you gonna charge it anytime soon? Do you leave and come back? Is it like an e-car? You gotta plug it up outside? What is this? Why don't you, you're not passing gas, you're not burping, you know what I mean? Like, footsteps are minimal, but you're covered in cameras. So, like, is there any cameras on your feet? If there are cameras on your feet, why are they going clickety-clack when you walk on the ground? These are not cotton-based cameras. That's impossible. They have to be made of some type of metal or something, so you're not making any clacking noise. I would imagine that if you're walking, your thigh gap has to be making all kinds of, like, key noises or something, or scratching or something. All the lenses between your legs should be scratched, which would make the whole point of being invisible impossible, because you just have a whole bunch of scratches on your lenses between your balls. So that wouldn't make any sense either. And then, like, on your armpits and stuff, there's just a whole bunch of things that didn't make any sense about the mechanics of the suit. And then, of course, if you put on anything that's skin tight, it's going to make that, like, noise. So, like, how you have on this rubber suit that's clearly rainproof with these lenses that make no sound? No scratching, no clanking, no nothing. This is the most stealth sounding glass cameras I've ever seen. And they show the suit. The cameras make like moves and go blink and flicker and all stuff like that. But there's no sound, no nothing. So I didn't understand that. So when he's in the room with her in the asylum, after grabbing the pen out of her butt, she goes in the shower and decides to threaten her, kill herself, because she has a baby of his. And he stops her. When he grabs her to stop her from killing herself, she then stabs him with the pen, which damages the suit. I don't know if he's damaged, but it didn't really make it look like he was harmed or hurt from being stabbed. But he stabs her multiple times. And by the way, this dude's endurance is amazing, which you're going to see when you get to that point. So he stabs her multiple times with the pen. He knocks her over, or rather she stabs him. He knocks her over. I would get back up and keep stabbing him, but whatever. She runs out the room and pushes him to the side. Once out the room, security guards show up. And again, there's cameras everywhere. So the security guards are grabbing her, trying to bring her back to the room. The invisible man sneaks up on them and knocks them all out. I mean, he knocks them all out. This man, I don't know what kind of sports he's in, what kind of rugby games he's been played. I don't know if he knows martial arts or something. Maybe with his millions of dollars, he got trained in Jeet Kune Do. But he takes out all the security guards by himself. His suit is flickering on and off because of the stab wounds. So they see him, but no one shoots him. No one takes the guns and says, you know what, I'm just going to shoot randomly at the sky, because clearly something is there. It's not Dudley's dragon that's knocking people out right now. It's not, you know, It's Chapter 2. It's not Genie from Aladdin. It is clearly a man who is covered in black, who is knocking people out and killing them. I need to shoot something. So I would just shoot. I would just shoot at anything. No one gives a crap about these people in the asylum. They're all crazies anyway. So no one's going to be mad at you, security guard, if you take a couple rounds and just blah, blah, in the air, just to make sure, you know, you don't get killed right now. But no one shoots anything. He'd take them all out. The entire time this slow old boy fight scene goes on, our girl, Clearasil, is still on the ground next to a gun. Clearasil, you see this going on. Grab the gun. Shoot him. Pow, 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 pow. I can't tell you how many times, and I've probably been the most annoying person. I probably was the most annoying person in movie theaters before, but I've probably been the most annoying person in this movie theater if I saw it, making the gun noises to show how many times you could shoot this dude before he realized that he can be shot. I was literally counting the gunshots in my mind, like pow, 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 shoot him now, pow, shoot him now, pow, pow, shoot him now, pow. And she's just laying there on the ground, not shooting this dude. So he escapes. And as he's running out, it's raining outside. So outside of the asylum, as she's running past the door, there's more security guards. Behind them clearly are security cameras. So you mean to tell me, security guards, one, why did y'all all try to attack this woman, or rather this man, two at a time? All 9 of y'all, 10 of y'all should have came up there when y'all saw dude number 1 and dude number 2 go down. All 8, 7, 10, 15 of y'all should have went up there and tried to take her out. Then when Invisible Man kind of revealed himself, one or two of y'all should be like, hey, yo, there's an invisible guy right there. One of y'all should be looking at the camera and see there's an invisible guy right there. And then me, again, knowing the knowledge of horror movies, I didn't see Silent Hill. I don't know what the hell The Shining was about. If I'm sitting down at a security booth and I'm looking at the cameras and I see some black dude, not black dude, but he was wearing black. Don't judge him. This is not a crime, hate crime. But a guy in a black suit disappear and reappear and killing people. I'm not gonna take my butt up there by myself. Two, I'm gonna call for backup. They got the little what they got? They got the little radios on their shoulders. Officer two to squad B. Officers down. Like I would be calling the real police or something. Hey, bring backup here. We got a situation. And I'll say something logical like, hey, people are getting murdered. Bring backup. I don't have to go into detail about the invisible guy or whatever because I know they're not going to believe me. But again, in horror films, it's as if no one's ever seen a horror film before. Anyway, so he escapes. I can feel my nasals opening up. That's great. So anyway, he escapes outside. It's raining. And Clarisselle is out there in the rain trying to find him. Out there in the rain, he shoots more guards until he crosses paths with her. He says, hey, I've been harming you. I've been hurting your friends. I killed your sister. But I know what's really going to get you is I'm going to kill the little girl who is your black friend's daughter. I don't know why the little girl who is black friend's daughter is more important than your actual sister who was clearly murdered in front of you. But they made it a plot point that the little black girl is the most significant victim here. So whatever. He leaves and, you know, everyone saw him walk away. Everyone's who has survived, because not everyone is dead. Most of the security guards were just knocked out. But everyone who has survived knows that an invisible man just beat the shit out of them, shot them, and hurt them. So there's witnesses here. So whatever the plan was after this point is up to the invisible man. But they're going to make a point of that, too. It's going to be a little off, one-off line or whatever. It's going to kind of clear all that up. So after that, she calls the black friend and says, hey, you know, N-word Jim, your daughter is at your house. She's not safe. You know, I know I sound crazy in the whole movie, but please, you know, I'll let you smash one time if you just listen to me and go to the house. Because honestly, I cannot understand why this unattractive woman is friends with all these attractive people. And they just want to, I just thought about it. She has money. She's rich. I forgot about it. Sorry. It just came to me. She's rich. That's what it was. She has a lot of money, and that means she has a lot of powerful friends. It makes sense now. Okay, anyway, problem solved. So going forward, now she says, hey, go to the house. Your daughter's not safe. The cop shows up there. When he gets there, his daughter's on the ground being choked by the invisible man. So he pulls his gun out. His gun is already out, but the invisible man, obviously invisible, sneaks up on him and knocks him out, knocks the gun out of his hand, pretty much beats the crap out of him. I don't know how, because the cop is really fit. I mean, he is like swole. He has muscles on top of his muscles. His whole jaw is a muscle. He looks like he beats up rocks. He is strong. And they just had him, and the invisible man just beat the crap out of him. I assumed he had a weapon in his hand, or maybe the suit makes him stronger. They don't explain. Maybe the suit also has tiny micro knives or something. It's like brass knuckles under the suit in his hand. I don't know. They don't really give any explanation as to why these middle-aged average American men in this suit are stronger than this cop who clearly works out every hour. He works. I don't get it. So a cop is knocked unconscious. Just then, somehow, sooner than later, the protagonist, Clarisselle, comes in, sprays the invisible man with a hydrant so that she can see him, and then puts four holes in his chest with a gun. Pow, 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 pow. So he's down on the ground, dead. She takes off the suit, Scooby-Doo style, and it's the brother. Not the actual husband that was supposedly dead, but the brother. At the same time, the cop, in a scene later on, reveals, oh, your actual ex-husband has been locked behind a wall in his home for the past couple days. She's like, no, that's not true. Because we all know, the audience, that there's two suits. So I'm like, okay, obviously he's locked himself in there to make it look like he's been captured. His brother's going to take the fall. Everyone has money. Life goes on. But the Clarisselle doesn't believe it. So she calls him up and says, hey, I want to meet. They go back to the house where they, you know, fell in love, whatever. And she's like, yo, I'll take you back if you just admit to me that you were the one that did it. And he's like, no, I didn't do it. You're crazy. But then he reveals through the conversation, he says a word, surprise or something like that, that sounds familiar to something he said on the phone in an earlier scene when he snuck up on her. So that gave her the clue that it was him. Me personally, I wouldn't have given a shit about clues. I would have just murdered him. I mean, at the point, I would have just shot him anyway. There would be no clue. But I guess she, you know, we got to be clever with this. We can't just go around murdering people in life. That's not how you do things. So she tells him, okay, well, I believe you, but I'm a little choked up. I'm going to go into the other room, into the powder room and wash up. He's like, okay, fine. Obviously, she did not do that. She went back into the house where she hid the second suit, put that suit on, and then off screen, the cop, the black cop is, I won't say off screen, but not out, but outside. Black cop is outside listening in on his, you know, private investigator gear or whatever. And here's someone struggling. And then cut to the scene of the evil ex-boyfriend taking a knife and cutting his own throat and dying on the ground. Then, moments later, Clearasil comes running in crying, oh my God, you killed yourself. Wow. So the cop, the black cop runs in. Oh my gosh, what just happened? 911 is called. And she's like, oh yeah, he totally killed himself. And then she kind of like walks off to, because he has security cameras in his house too. So she kind of walks off to the side. And then like out of frame of the security camera, she looks at him and is like, yeah, bitch, I got you. Basically, that's what she's saying. Like, yeah, bitch, I got you. Ha ha. And then looks at black cop and is like, hey, what'd you see? And black cop is like, I ain't see nothing. Because he noticed that she also had a suit. And I'm not going to tell a crazy chick that she crazy, especially if she has an invisible suit, because all she got to do is put the suit on and come to my house and fuck me up. So it's whatever you say. And she got money. So I'm not going to say nothing. I get paid less than $40,000 a year. I'm a regular black cop and I'm a single dad. I got child support payments. I'm not going to mess with this white chick, crazy chick with this suit on. I'm not going to mess with this white family. They all crazy and got money. They crazy. That would have been the first thing I'd done. As soon as I found out you killed your ex-husband and y'all got invisible suits and the brother is crazy and you're crazy and he crazy, we're done. No more Christmases, nothing. No more hanging out, no nothing. I'm taking my daughter. We're going to move. See you later. Don't call me no more. No Facebook. He was smart. He's like, yo, I ain't see nothing. He let her leave. And that was the end of the movie. But it still, it just bothered me because I was fine with the idea that maybe she's crazy in her own mind. And then she'll come out on top somehow, either proving that she's not crazy or that the plot twist would be the latter. It was just when I saw the knife scene that really, like, they couldn't have thought of any other way to explain, to get to that point. They could have, like, had the sister go somewhere by herself and then he kill her, or maybe he wait until they leave the restaurant. And then, like, I guess he needed to have the witnesses to get her locked up into the asylum. But it's just like, my dude, every place they had been in this movie has cameras except the restaurant. That made no sense. So, you know, I could be nitpicking, but that's the kind of thing I do. It's like, I see movies that are supposed to use intelligence or have intelligent people in it. Then I got to assume that the writers and directors are intelligent too. That was the only thing that bothered me. Once I saw the knife scene and the sister dying, I was like, yeah, I'm out. Let's just, we lost it. It was clever at first. Cinematography was clever. You know, you'd be looking to the side. Sometimes the camera would pan off to the side out of frame, or it would just kind of like sit and wait. Even though all the characters have left the room, it'll just sit there and you're like, oh, the Invisible Man, he's right there. He has to be in this room somewhere. Where's Waldo? Fuck Waldo, Invisible Man. And that was pretty good. Music was good. I just, you know, the first thing I thought about was like, why is this ugly chick, Clearasil, with all these attractive friends? Why, what's, but then, you know, she has money, so she's rich. And then the Invisible Man having that knife scene and then just like, oh, I'm going to put this knife in your hand. Like, wow, okay, O.J. Simpson, this motherfucker. Like, damn, how you just going to, like, the setup was just so cheesy. And you know, when you see it all in sequence of what the Invisible Man was trying to do, it makes it sound like he is really intelligent. But when you think about it on a humanistic level, I would say humanistic, but just if you think about just what people, I guess, I think what people generally would do with their body movements and with action is, I'm not going to stand and just have my hand open. Like, she had her hand down, and then when the sister's neck got slit, all of a sudden her hand was just up in the air open. Like, that didn't seem like a typical body reaction to do. I don't know. If I seen someone's neck get slit in front of me, I'm jumping out the seat. But I'm not going to put my hand in the air and raise my hand like I'm in third grade. It was weird. Anyway, I feel the flag I'm coming down, so I should be good to go. I just want to give my little 10 cents about this movie. I say if you want to go see it, go see it, maybe. I'm still working on the criteria for this kind of theme with this, the warm-up. So, you know, I don't really have like a ranking system. I would say just, you know, if you're going to go see it with your girl or your guy, and then, you know, go do something gross afterwards. This is a good this is a good movie to kind of like, you know, loosen you up, you know, I can't say get the motors running. That's kind of weird. I want to say grease the wheels. No. You know, tar the feathers. I can't think of anything. I just can't. I'm sorry. But if you want to just go see a movie with somebody, this is okay. And, you know, talk about it with them. It's not a blockbuster hit. It's, you know, it's a mildly attractive woman with attractive friends getting beat up pretty much the whole movie, which is actually the best part of the movie. You know, they really did act like they were getting beat up by an invisible person. I have to commend them on that. Whatever green screen technology, you know, they had to do, it was good. And retelling of a classic movie in modern era was also good. It's just, unfortunately, when you do that, you have to think about modern technology as well. Cameras are everywhere. She could have called someone on her phone. The entire time, instead of doing all this stuff privately and silently, you could have your phone recording, you could FaceTime someone, you could tell the cop that she could have called the cop and be like, hey, download FaceTime right quick, download Snapchat, I'm gonna have it on, and then just watch me and don't tell nobody. You know what I mean? Like, something like that could have been easy. She could have got a GoPro. She has money. In the movie, she gets like $10,000 or something, or hundreds of dollars. Her light bill is paid, obviously, so she got some cash. She could have bought a GoPro and then just turned the bitch on. Night vision goggles or something. She knew a cop. The cop could have got her some night vision from the evidence room. I don't know. Something that would have made it seem like she is smart rather than just running around telling everyone to do this and do that. I don't know. That's just me. I would have thought things more thoroughly. And of all the people to go to in the first place was the sister. No, the cop. Go to the cop guy. And I don't know. Anyway, I'm rambling on now because I'm just thinking about more stuff. Trying to get too much into it. Let me go ahead and drink some water and just get ready. As always, follow me on social media as The Digital Realist, or just Digital Realist, one word. You can also find me on YouTube, same channel name. Just Google me, you'll find me. All right, peace. Stay real.